there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Nearly half of 30-year-old U.S. woman, now childless amid birth rate drop. This is killing civilization. We need to fix this. A New York Times article details the U.S. fertility rate at 1.6 birth per woman, down over 25% since 2007, and below the 2.1 replacement level. January 2026 saw 289,000 births, a 4.81% drop from last year, with teen rates falling 70% since the 90s due to better contraception and opportunities. Fuck this shit. Better contraception. It's worse. We have created a worse situation. We are being evolutionarily erased. While some see fewer early births as progress, critics warn of threats to society and future labor forces. But it's not about labor forces, it's about existence. We don't have to make babies to maintain the labor force. No one gives a shit about the labor force. We make babies to continue human existence, to continue habitating this planet. That is why we have to make babies. And the age at which women have babies is highly determinant on everything down the line. It's determinant on the effectiveness on your growth of population. I've made this case years ago in a clip that went very popular. If you don't make babies before 25 years old as a female, you are threatening the continuity of civilization, because it's not the same thing, even if you have only two babies. It's not the same thing having two babies at 20-year-old and two babies at 40-year-old. If your generational time is 40-year-old, it takes you twice as much time to renew the livestock of humanity. If you compress this within 20 years, if you compress this at a young age, when you go above two, you multiply quicker. So if you make three babies, for example, before you're 25, by the time you're, let's say they are 18, by the time you are 43, they will be adult and capable of making their own babies. That is a much quicker exponential growth than if you wait up to 40 years old. If you wait up to 40 years old, your exponential is divided over a longer time, and therefore you get outcompeted by other civilizations and other populations that do breed exponentially. Joe Annan says, feminism, estrogen, birth control, and abortion will destroy any civilization in a few short generations. Yes, hopefully we get above this bump in the road evolutionarily, and hopefully in 100 years from now, no one is talking about the birth pill. The birth pill is regarded as this ancient technology that has killed a generation, literally. AI Screen Genius says, I'm just making sure I can build the technologies I want to build before society collapses and supply chains become more and more inefficient. I'll be able to live the future I want to live with or without women, having more babies and separate from living around useless women. Okay, I don't know what's your plan. You seem to have a very specific plan for liberating yourself with technology. Well, good luck. Good luck. Trump is roasting Ilhan Omar.
Some of them. How about Omar screaming like a lunatic? You looked at her bulging eyes. She's crazy. Get her the hell out of here. The Omar and her friend and her little friend sitting next to her. Slashing energy costs is among the most.
It's always fun to see Trump dunk on Ilhan Omar. John Drake says, hopefully we're here in 100 months, never mind 100 years. Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely within the concerns that we don't even have 100 years. I mean, those people who are capable of isolating from the system and protecting their children from it, they will continue no matter what. All of these leftist, anti-natalist, birth pill, abortion things, they all are self-destructive. So that's the problem that the left is dealing with long term. It is always worrying to see all of the trends that have left that have led our civilization to become so leftist and so socializing. But there's always the encouragement and the white pill at the end, which is it's doesn't matter if it's 99% of the people. They're all self-eliminating. They're all disappearing, and the future can only be better. The question is whether the future will be with us or without us. But the future is better. That is a comforting thought for dealing with this. Now look at how they're shaming Elon Musk. Elon Musk's trans son, Vivian Jenna Wilson, makes her debut at the Gucci fashion show during Milan's Fashion Week. This is public humiliation of Elon Musk. Look at this. This son of Elon Musk, Vivian Wilson, trying to show off as a woman. It is quite pathetic, because this is not good modeling of any sort. Look at the pattern of the walk. This is not exciting. I mean, even if you were to try to deceive yourself and think this is a woman, this is not charming. This is not the gait of a woman, by the way. I have a PhD in locomotion, so maybe I'm particularly sensitive to these things. But this is not a woman walking. This is a thin man walking. This is someone who has actual difficulty walking on heels. And the only reason they're featuring this person is to get at Elon Musk. It's to show, look, we have taken your genetic continuity, your genetic line, and we're just spoiling it. We're making it unreproductive. And here it is in its full shiny demonstration, in your face, unavoidable, unbelievable. Ty Rogerson says most of the brain had been removed too, but it still walks. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe it's related to something else. Nate Dog Revolution says lacks the natural grace of an actual woman. Absolutely. Look at the attempt at staying stern. It's so male the way he looks straight. Women are not going to do this. Even the most intense model, like the most intense female model who wants to take herself very seriously, she will have something to her facial expression that is kind of light. She will have something that gives it away that she's having fun. this is the look of a psycho coming to kill you or something. This is absolutely male. All right. Well, probably some training needed on the eel walk. But in any case, this is being shown as kind of a scalp of war for the left, a scalp of war for the liberals. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, do you think that AI might be able to mitigate against war via human augmentation, subtle nudging towards de-escalation in responses? This would more than make up for the cost of AI. I don't think that AI is a solution to war. Because any nudging that you want to invoke, the question is, who are you going to nudge? And we're always stuck with this. See, I think this is a deep thing of the universe and of living things in general. It's, in the end, you have limited grasp on destroying others, but you have infinite grasp on self-destruction. This is a rule of living things across the universe, and I believe it underlies everything from liberals, conservatives, birth pill, abortion, that kind of thing, down to predator-prey relationships in nature. So you can only destroy the eagle. The eagle cannot kill all of the mice. Because the mice, the few mice that will be exposed to get caught by an eagle, they're just the boundary. They're the cutoff sides of the mice population. And really, every time the eagle picks a mouse, the mouse that are left are less like the mouse that got eaten. So for this reason, the eagles have only a limited reach in completely emptying the mouse population. Possible in principle, and there may be case in which a predator is so aggressive and so successful that it creates kind of a singularity and it eliminates all of the prey, and then the predator population also dies with it. But in general, the predator is basically a farmer. There's kind of a mirrored relationship between the predator and the prey, where the predator shouldn't want to eat all of the prey. It should want actually to maintain a healthy mouse population. Now, it's not that the genes know this, but they kind of do this anyway. They kind of get to the right solution anyway. And for what you ask, so let's apply this now to AI coming and resolving war, resolving conflict. Well, wait a minute. Conflict is there for a reason to begin with. All conflict. Kind of rule number one of JF philosophy. All conflict is existential. All conflict is existential. All conflict is a war about between two people about, am I going to genocide your line of descent, or are you going to genocide mine? That explains the totality of philosophical engagement and small disagreements in specialized fields down like Sam Harris with Moral Landscape. And it's like, okay, we're going to care about everyone's happiness. Well, okay, but some people are going to be disadvantaged by your system. Some people, it's going to be an existential conflict for them. Now, you may think in your liberal mind, what's wrong about allowing female freedom and abortion? But for someone down the line, that's the baby of someone that will not live. And that person, maybe the male father of this child, or maybe even the mother in cases where you would impose this onto females, they are the genocided victim of your philosophical thought. You have thought, well, we want to achieve happiness, liberty, let's not touch female's body, let leave a female's body control over herself. But down the line, you just kill the line of descent. Down the line, you have committed eugenics. So let's apply this to AI. Everything that AI could do in the domain of conflict is eugenics. So I believe that AI certainly will have many applications in the military. Already we hear that basically Grok or some AI planned the Venezuela... Was it, yeah, the Venezuela Maduro kidnapping, I think? So it's like... And you could see in the way they deployed this operation, I could hear Grok in it. Like, I speak to Grok a lot. And it's like, when they threw those flash bombs that neutralized everyone and led them to vomit, while they had protection somehow against the... whatever that was, sonic shockwave or whatever. That sounds like Grok. Like, if you go to Grok right now and you ask, Grok, planify for me a fictitious military operation in which we go and kidnap a world leader, Grok is totally going to tell you, oh, flash bombs, pow, pow, pow. Everyone is stunned. Now you enter. So already AI is changing the field of war. And we have heard from within the administration that indeed they have used AI to plan all of this scenario. And it worked. It's like above everything, holy shit, it worked on top of it. So absolutely AI will impact war, but AI cannot make war inexistent. It can only do so by eliminating the opponent. So if AI does anything in the direction of peace, it will be through overwhelming force. It will be by giving such advantage of one side toward another that they completely crush the other. But AI cannot nudge people toward the direction of peace, because that is evolutionary neutralization. The reason there is conflict is that people aren't nudgeable. That's the way to see it. The reason there is conflict to begin with is that people had to unnudge themselves from aligning with the collective interest, because the collective interest was actually bad for them. And it's very easy to see this and understand this when you live in our society. Like, we can already see, even I, in my personal life, I had to disconnect from the normie world, if you will. I had to separate, to be a sovereign individual against a world that was obviously bad for me. A world of liberalism, of city living, of being in the institutions. And all of this will sterilize you. And so my act of will to power was to separate from this. But now, would AI nudge me back into this system? No. And I wouldn't let it happen. And if I let it, it would get me back into a lifestyle where I wouldn't have my children. So ultimately, people are in... And so eventually, I can totally imagine myself, let's say... 100 years down the line, if I was in my position, I can imagine there's a civil war rising in our countries, America, Canada, and I would end up on whatever side is the side of conservatives and Albertans or whatever it is, whatever is the subject of that war at that moment. But that's because I had no choice but to exit the world of nudges, the world of, oh yeah, buy into our ideologies for a while. We'll give you money. We'll give you employment. Women will think you have a job. They will respect you. All of this, which I would call the liberal normie plex, basically, the normie plex, all of this is either truly to your advantage and you stay within it, or you leave, and the reason you left is that you don't want to get back to it, and you shouldn't want to get back to it. Now, if AI was to convince a bunch of people of adhering to a centralized kind of liberal or normie or whatever axis of thought that it has defined would be the axis to follow for everyone, there would be a bunch of dissidents. And when you are a dissident, doesn't matter whether you're a conservative in Alberta or whether you're, I don't know, some Pakistani guy in some Pakistan gang that opposes to the current Pakistan regime, the system always has its frontiers. It always has its dissenters. And AI cannot fix this because the dissenters had no choice. The dissenters had no choice. They had to do it to survive. Terror Eyes says, are you proposing that the revolutionary phenotype can be applied when the predator is an ideology adopted by the systems of government, bureaucratic system, and the mice, the nation's population? Well, I think that the way you phrased that analogy, I would agree with it. It has nothing to do with the revolutionary phenotype, by the way, though. But the end of your statement, so... can ideologies be seen as predators? Absolutely. It's the same thing. The eagle, the mice, okay, two populations, they all produce their babies. The mice happens not to need the eagle. So the mice, they can stand on their own. The eagle, their life is to catch mice. So the eagle is dependent on the mice population. The eagle has a phenotype. The phenotype is the ensemble of causes of the gene of one eagle in the entire universe. So it has this chain of causality. One part of this phenotype, one little segment of their life, is eating mice. So if you wanna see it as addition subtraction, it's like, okay, you have the population of eagle. It's picking out mice. Minus one, minus one, minus one, minus one, minus one. It's picking leaves of the tree of the mice population. That's just the phenotype of eagles. And so here you have phenotypic interfacing. Phenotypic interfacing is... It totally follows from not so much the revolutionary phenotype, but Richard Dawkins' extended phenotype. So the eagles have the mice in their phenotype, and there's a little interaction. It's a subtractive interaction, minus one. The mice, they have their phenotype. And their phenotype is again defined in the same way, the set of causes in the universe of one genome of one mice. So it includes the hiding behaviors. Now, the hiding behaviors, what can they do in this phenotypic interface? They can help the mice transform a minus one into a plus zero. So it's like it can avoid the subtraction. So that is the mathematical characterization of phenotypic interfacing. So basically, evolution, what is it? Well, it's a bunch of mice that are playing an exponential game. Babies, 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 babies. But now it's faced with babies, babies. And then the eagles are like babies, babies, babies. But now it's faced with the fact, the mice genomes are faced with the fact, oh no, of my babies that I do produce, because I had enough food to produce them, I had enough parental care, I had the good genes, I charmed a nice female mice. But I get these minus ones coming from the sky. I get these minus ones coming from the sky. It's like, poof, this disappears. So the genes of the mice, they reply by trying to minimize the minus ones. That is how you get phenotypic evolution for protection against predators. Now, let's move this generalized framework. Pookie says, hello, yes, I am in the dating market for women who should be grandmas by now. Oh, you're looking to You're looking to shave off the old woman population by dating them. That is so sad, bro. That is so sad when I see old women just desperate and getting sperm at the very end with maybe a chance of having one baby. So sad, because you had it all. You could have decided to do this 20 years ago. You would have all of your family. So let's now take the generalized framework of phenotypic interfacing and think, okay, that wasn't necessarily for predator-prey interactions, what I've said. It applies to the liberal ideology, normie ideology, etc. So what's an ideology? Well, there's a bunch of people. They reproduce. They're like the mice or the eagle population. They reproduce. They throw around ideas. Now, these ideas, they exist in the human population because there was a door opened, a door that was necessary for human civilization to evolve culturally. So that door, I want to describe it in full in the moral signal, but basically it's, you needed a brain that was capable to learn from others, because we just faced stuff that was, we also expanded over planet Earth in ways that no species ever do. So we faced novel environments after novel environments. The more the environments were novel, the more we needed to learn directly from our dads and from our tribes. Whereas the regular species, they have their place of living and they mostly specialize in their niche, and it's very rare that they will dominate the whole globe. I don't even know of, is there any other species like human that are literally everywhere? Because even in those places where you look at, let's say, crickets or insects that are very widespread, you look at ants. The ants of Africa are very different from the ants of America. And certainly they have achieved world domination over hundreds of millions of years, whereas humanity did so in 200,000 years. 200,000 years that... Well, I mean, if you want to go back to the first pre-human, we evolved from the chimpanzee branch 7 million years ago. But our last common ancestors as Homo sapiens was probably much less than 7 million years ago. I don't remember the exact dates, maybe a million year ago. Don't quote me on it. So... We have faced an expanding domination of niches that were much more diverse than anything that any other species has ever faced in its speed and diversity. So, as a consequence, we needed a very open brain. Very, very open. Overly open. When you look at how retarded humans are in terms of believing shit, it's insane. It's like, we look like cultural dodos. There's people like me who are autistic and who reject things, you know. But the vast majority of humans out there, they will just eat whatever shit you throw at them. Whatever shit you throw at them, they will just... They will spout it back even. So that is the opening, the brain door... The receptive antenna that is born inside of us. And we also have a sending antenna. We have just the capacity to teach, speak, and to subvert, to lie, to convince others of stuff that is not in their interest. So that door is too loose. That door is too loose. In the same way, the mice, her displays of color are too loose. So sometimes it does get caught by the eagle. Sometimes our door, they get caught by bad ideologies that are circulating among the population because nothing was there to pre-filter those ideologies. Especially not whatever was invented since the 1960s. So it's like when you have these highly religious cultures, they have filtered their memes for 2,000 years, 5,000 years, whatever. We haven't filtered the liberal memes. We haven't gone even through a full generational cycle. The people who invented liberalism in its modern form, they haven't even died yet. That's how early we are in the big leftist experiment. So these ideologies are untested. And in the same way, the mice that are habituated to a living place where there were no eagles, they are unfit to the new world in which there are eagles. Terror Eyes says, could revolutionary movements be described as the mice, the nation, or the people trying to prevent a multiplying minus one from the predatory ideology that has rudimentary automation through bureaucracy? Exactly. This was exactly my earlier point. So the dissidents exist for a reason. They exist because that was the way they could survive. And so you're not going to get AI to somehow convince the dissidents. You have to rejoin the very system that you had to leave to survive. So the people who reject ideologies, they are dissidents. They are like the mice who have found their own way to hide from the eagle sight. And it would be a very bad idea for them to go back into the sight, to go back into the field. That is how I see it. So yes, ideology are absolutely parallel to predation relationships. They are leaks of information within an information system. People evolve to adapt to them, and sometimes they evolve to avoid them as a whole. So that's dissidents, revolutionaries, or just people who reject whatever is the current mantra. Now, in a traditional society that has aged and filtered itself for more than 100 years, all of these things disappear. So abortion, birth pill, all of this will disappear. And we will have something like a filtered religion. A filtered religion that has gone through the cycle of the current nightmare of Western civilization. Once we have gone through this filter, and maybe that abolishes 99% of our genes, maybe it kills 50% of us. I mean, we already have the counts of the abortions, and it's like, yeah, they say what... What did they say? 2/3 of Gen Z didn't exist. 2/3 of Gen Z was aborted before they could be born. And something like this, or 50%, I don't know, but it was a huge number. So already we can say liberal ideology has annihilated a half whole of the Western civilization's population. So there is not a war you can do, by the way. There is not a campaign that the Crusaders have done. There is not an act of war of Genghis Khan that has ever killed as much people as abortion. Just absolute eradication. Now, hopefully there is some point in the future where this is not even an original statement. Hopefully there is some point in the future where we remember, oh, wow, that's how much people died. That's how many people were killed by abortion. More than Genghis Khan. More than the Black Plague. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and in so much less time. I mean, when we think of these big historic, like these big wars, they spread over the whole lifetime of a man in a country. Like, even World War II doesn't compare. Hopefully, we think back, and one day in history books it is written, the great culling of the 1960s to the 2026. The great female culling, where females got together and performed the biggest act of war in the history of humanity. The killing of human beings for spite. Doubting Thomas says, JF, does this apply to the warmongers as well, as they are not dissidents? Those that are to be de-escalated, like the military-industrial complex, are not going to war for existential reasons. Well, it applies to everything. What I'm saying is, yes, an ideology can be seen as a phenotypic interface, but that includes the sender of these phenotypic interface. That includes the eagle. That is why to thinking of warmongers as eagles makes absolute sense. So yes, it doesn't just apply to dissidents. The dissidents, they are simply more fit to the mice metaphor. But my layout is actually predator-prey-independent. It's a bilateral layout of all possible phenotypic interfaces. It can apply to everything that exists. So it applies to eagle and mice, but it applies in a non-killing way to farmers and cows. So same thing, farmers and cows. The cows, the farmers, they are in a relationship. Some of the actions of the farmer are subtracting -1 from the cow population. But the cow population also finds a way to make positive about it. So the cow population finds a way to pass under the radar and continue existing by ensuring that, despite the fact that the farmer is killing them, it's still ensuring that their babies will make it. So it's like, give me your meat in exchange, I will care for your baby. And the cows are just, evolutionarily, that makes sense. You will become willing to do this. Burger Fan says, do you think that abortion has a eugenic effect, like for liberals? Definitely. As I said, no matter the importance of the numbers of people killed, there is always... This is why you guys are getting me to something so deep tonight. You're really getting me to lay out some of my most profound thoughts. It's always harder to destroy the rest than it is to destroy yourself. It's always easier. So no matter how much of world control you want to invoke, no matter how much control you've acquired over your local population, you control the institutions, you control everything, the culture, you have all of the celebrities, they go on TV to promote more abortion. And you have the whole of liberal culture, the elementary school teachers up to university. Everyone is just eating your propaganda on the everyday like cereals. And even then, you will only destroy more of yourselves than the other. Because the other is on a path of war. The dissidents as subtracted from your phenotypic interface. So the reach of evil is limited. And that is such a good news. It almost makes me cry how beautiful it is. The reach of evil is always limited. It's always destroying itself more than you. Ty Rogerson says, escape pod thrust detected, sir. Terror Eyes says, your abortion framing is profound, JF. How many genetic traits have been lost and will be lost? Can they be counted? No. No, can you imagine counting the branches of unfolding? I mean, you know, working on math on the everyday, I love... I deal with prime numbers and very complex trees of ternary decision making, 0, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2, trickling down the exponential tree size trees. And let me tell you, those trees that I deal with are incomprehensible to the human mind. If you're talking about the possible lives that are lost through abortion, if you're talking about 6 billion letters of DNA potentially becoming anything, taking any direction, you can never quantify, you can never even conceive of what was lost, of the minds that will not exist because of abortion. You couldn't even conceive of half of this or a 1% of it. It is absolutely impossible to unfold. So Rabbi Pupko is complaining about Tucker Carlson and Anna Kasparian. The Nazis have returned and they aren't ashamed of it. We cannot be ashamed to fight back either. It's so. I actually have to watch the date. We're in 2026, and it's like we're still in the mode of, well, oh, these people are not on our side. They're not on the Israel side. They're Nazis. Oh my God! When does this end? When does it end? We already went through this. We already went through it all. It's like I sacrificed my life so that we wouldn't have to constantly go through this. I took all the hits. I went ahead and say, hit me with a baseball. Hit me with the best you got, bitches. Hit me with the best you got. But no, we're still in it. And it's like, Anna Kasparian is shyly trying to walk where I have already walked. And it's like I'm 1 kilometer ahead. And she's like trying to take a step. And Tucker Carlson is trying to take a step in that direction. And it's like, bro, you have 1 kilometer to do to recover your advance. So start doing it. But the soonest they consider that step, they get attacked by the media. I want to thank Apollo Regime. He has been doing a wonderful job looking over more and more mathematical detail my claim. So years ago, my claim, and this has become a cultural meme. This has become, very often I will see people tweet this without even knowing me. And they're like, they heard it from a friend. They heard it from, I don't know how it spread. But somehow this is a meme of mine that has penetrated culture, mainstream culture. You'll see random Twitter accounts that have no idea who I am. They have no idea what nationalism is. But they will say, did you know? Did you know that you are less related to your own child if you mix racially than you would be to a random person of your own race? CPTSD Spurg says, Jeff, I quit my wagey job for now. I need a break. What was it like, Jeff, having Bitcoin bail out your financial problems? Well, I never do I happily pick into my Bitcoin reserve. In no situation am I happy to sell Bitcoin. So, no, it's not like it feels awesome. But it is awesome. Bitcoin did give me... now, I don't withdraw from my Bitcoin pile anymore, but back in critical days where I had to buy a house, where I was pursued by the state, where I had to flee to Alberta, Bitcoin was critical. And so, yes, it's life-saving, absolutely. But there is never a cent that I take off my Bitcoin pile that I'm happy about. That's just...
I've been waiting for this deep dive.
Thank you very much, Nate Dog Revolution. Very appreciated your generous donation. So yes, I'm that greedy. It's those are my Bitcoin. I don't want to lose any of them. My precious. Matt Bell says JF is against genetic modification, but if we engineered self-pickling herring, he would have a religious epiphany. Self-pickling herring. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Our breed of herring produces its own fine vinegar with notes of aged, genuine Italian vinegar, with Sicilian notes of aged barrel, oak, aged vinegars. And the herring lives a perfectly fine life. But the vinegar accumulates just enough so that at the moment of its death, it is just perfectly pickled. We have also added onion notes into the development of the muscle fibers of the herring so that it's already the flavor you're used to. Already the sweet onion flavor that goes perfectly well with the vinegar. Man, I would consider this. I would, like, if you can reproduce the taste down the line. But it's like, I see complications. At some point, vinegar is opposed to life. Vinegar is anti-life. In fact, vinegar is a high poison. You know that the reason you cannot, you know, have you ever asked yourself, why can't I buy vinegar powder? I've asked myself this question. I dig down the rabbit hole. Because I mean, my father was telling me I'm like this since I'm 5 years old. I look at the labels. I look at the ingredients. I eat something and I'm like, how is it made? While I eat it, I have a YouTube video that shows the whole industrial process of how it's made. And I started wondering, why is there no vinegar powder? Because I can have powder of anything. I can have gelatin powder. I can have powdered whatever, yeast. I can have powdered jello, powdered pudding, powdered milk. I can have powdered milk. Why can't I have powdered vinegar? And it's because powdered vinegar is a killer poison. If you had acetic acid in any form that is powdered, whereas the vinegar that you can buy at the grocery store is all limited to 4% acetic acid. So there's no one who's going to drink so much of it that they're going to reach the poisonous level. But if you had vinegar powder, and if a child was to ingest, or you were to ingest it in some Ziploc bag, so to avoid the bad taste, you could die. You could easily die from acetic acid. That is the ultimate reason why we don't allow derivatives of acetate in chemical powdered forms in the grocery store. Matt Bell says, JF always finding the downside, live the dream, self-pickling herring, it's the future. Exactly. CPTSD says, JF, I don't see the crypto winter ending this time. It's becoming like NFTs. Bro, I just don't believe this. Because no matter what the economic system does, Bitcoin is there to absorb it. Bitcoin is there to absorb any strategy of any politicians in the future. That is how Bitcoin is designed, basically. So anything they do that anyone enriches themselves with, Bitcoin is there for the people to enrich itself. So it doesn't, if the government goes, UBI, we're just going to send money to the people. Okay, well, Bitcoin rises. Oh, we're going to foment a manufacturing economy in the US. We're going to bring back jobs. Bitcoin gets higher. We are going to specialize our nation in technological prowess, innovation, by funding these very specific industries. Bitcoin goes up. Because anything that these people try to do to enrich themselves, the money will trickle down. And it will all come into the big cyclic equation of Bitcoin. Because that's the only true money. This is why I have eternal faith in Bitcoin. I don't think there will be a crypto winter forever. And I am absolutely convinced that the cycles will come back. I am not scared at all. I don't think about it at all. I want to thank Apollo Regime. So Apollo Regime has done a whole detailed math breakdown thread. Because there was a geneticist out there who was saying, oh, Jeff is wrong. It's not true that you are not genetically similar to your race mixed child. But he worked from Lazaridis. He worked from data that is extremely broad on the planet. So he worked from the FST genetic diversity of the whole of white people across the planet. Now, that is not restrictive enough, first. It's too inclusive, the data he worked with. And secondly, it doesn't address my original statement. My original statement is not, oh, if you breed with any white people across the planet, randomly chosen, you're going to be closer genetically than if you reproduce with any African person in the whole continent of Africa. That was not my statement. My statement was always from the perspective of a woman or a man in his genetic country vicinity. If he picks an immigrant from another race to reproduce with, versus if he picks someone from his race who is part of his very close, tight-knit genetic nuclei, what will be the genetic differences that he entertains with his child or her child? That was the initial question that I wanted to address. I used a specific study that has measured these genetic differences to quantify and to say, well, based on these numbers, you are less related to your mixed race offspring than you are to your neighbor. Now, that's a slightly different statement than to say the FST of all Europeans. Because when you start working with the FST of all Europeans, the problem is you are studying something that is fundamentally unrealistic in a breeding scenario. Because if you reproduce with a white person, and let's say you're in France or you're in the US, 99% of the chances are that you're not reproducing with a Russian, you're not reproducing with a Polish person, you're not reproducing with, in fact, you're not reproducing even with a Greek. When you are picking a white person in your working neighborhood, your surrounding, your country, you are picking a white partner for reproduction within an extremely genetically restricted set of diversity. And Apollonian Regime basically has done all of the math to show that down the line, when you consider the restrictive set that people actually breed in, I'm absolutely right. And if you were working with the hypothesis that the white person is breeding with any white person, then maybe my statement becomes untrue or at the border of truth. But what Apollonian regime did is he started segregating the populations within IQ. So I think that IQ is not the right approach. I think that it's an unjustified step he took there. But I think that his measure of IQ basically ends up creating little genetic nuclei of restricted people. And what it ultimately shows, and I think that the right way to do what he's done would be to take genetic diversity within a country. Because then you're getting closer to how people actually breed. And even the country may be too large. I would say you probably need the FST of white people in a given town or in a given sub-region. However, Apollonian regime with his imperfect data and imperfect method around, let's just segregate people by IQ groups. He showed that my statements are absolutely correct. That basically if you take, for example, if you split the population at 115 IQ, and you say, okay, let's say that the 115 IQs are breeding mostly with the 115 IQs and above. So basically segregation by IQ. Now, he said that restricts heavily the genetic diversity because IQ is highly within the human population across the world where you can say, okay, it has that much FSD. Now, if you start picking subsections of it and you say, oh, well, what about the white French? And what about the white high IQ? And what about the white rich and the white poor? Whatever subsection you do on the FSD gets you closer and closer to the actual breeding scenario that I'm interested in, which is the question that people have to be faced with when they decide, do I breed with someone of my race around me, or do I breed with someone who just got here by plane, who comes from another continent? And he ends up saying, JF vindicated. At IQ 113, we find that Europeans are more than 1.5 times less variant than a random African, satisfying FST greater than one-third. So I think that Apollonian regime did something very clever here. He did it imperfectly because ultimately I would like to see that very same subset data, but instead of using IQ, use something that's geographical. Because I think that ultimately your proxy on IQ is an imperfect proxy that actually just regroups people geographically. So what I ended up doing is I changed my statement just slightly to adjust to this new mathematical reality. Because if my statement is interpreted across the whole of the white population of the planet, it would be technically wrong. So I changed my statement for those people who want to be autistic about it. You are genetically less similar to your interracial offspring than you are to a white person picked at random in your geographic area. That is the new precision in your geographic area. That is where the because they've been using math from different stats that are not the ones I was using. I guess that perhaps the stats I was using were maybe more tied geographically. So perhaps the maths that I was using were implicitly carrying my hypothesis, which is I was working on responding to a super chat about, Jeff, do I breed with a white person just beside me, or do I breed with an immigrant coming from a plane? So the adjustment of my statement is this. I'm adding the precision in your geographic area, or in your IQ class would work as well, as Apollonian regime has stated. But I'd rather the more general statement, at the geographic level. Matt Bell says, Jeff, why are you looking to Chinese ladies to reproduce based on your scholarly views on race mixing? Love you, love the Chinese ladies. But please explain to me, a non-biologist, why Chinese ladies? I was mostly kidding. It's like, holy shit, I have to explain everything. I was mostly kidding when I did this whole campaign of finding myself a Chinese wife. Now, when I say mostly, and I've precised this on the show the next day, I said as much. I was mostly kidding, okay? Just relax. Now, when I say mostly kidding, what this means is I would consider a Chinese potential reproductive partner. But I am not specifically looking for this. And it was more like an educational joke that was aiming to illustrate what we will have to do. We will have to explain to our white woman, listen, if you guys can't deliver on your most important role in society, we're going to go check elsewhere. We're going to go check elsewhere because you guys are becoming a whole problem that is probably not worth dealing with. And it's not that dramatic if we were to include some genetic flow from female Asians. So that is what I wanted to illustrate with this joke. Now, of course, I would absolutely consider a beautiful Chinese wife that contacts me and wants to form a family with me, but I'm not necessarily interested in just this. What I'm interested in, and anyways, my successes are behind me, you know, so it really doesn't matter if my joke leads women to reject me. It really doesn't matter if my joke leads women to say, I don't want to call JF because he's so creepy. He's obsessed with Asian women. It's like, I have more children than a bunch of you can ever make.
Comment on plastic surgery, makeup, push-up bras, etc. Are any of these behaviors nefarious? Which do you consider positive or neutral? Are these women deceptive or ruthlessly committed to beauty and attraction? Is it perversion or admirable?
Oh, sorry. It wasn't reading loud enough.
Can you comment on plastic surgery, makeup, push-up bras, etc.? Are any of these behaviors nefarious? Which do you consider positive or neutral? Are these women deceptive or ruthlessly committed to beauty and attraction? Is it perversion or admirable?
I am against this. I understand the game of woman, okay? But I do believe that it is fundamentally deception down the line. I don't believe that it's psychological deception. Although, yeah, it can reach a psychological conscious level. But down the line, what are you doing? See, this is, and again, you guys are getting me on such deep stuff tonight. This is a channel of information. There's a channel of information between male attraction and female looks. That channel of information is important and it should be respected. The role that it plays, it gets the male excited. The male wants to charm the young lady. He feels that he has something of value. He feels that he is lucky. He wants to make babies. He comes inside of her. Babies are created. That is the function of female beauty, okay? It's the only function. It's the only legitimate function. So push-up bras, looking younger than you are with makeup, tricks, all of this, even the slightest care of self-beautifying, plastic surgery, anything, all of it is detouring the functionality of this channel of importance. So I am for the clean separation of signals in society. I am for, look, if what you're doing is Israeli propaganda, why don't you put a label on your channel that says this? Like, if what you're doing, if you're presenting all of this as, oh yeah, I'm I'm just a free thinker. I just concluded with a philosophical, theoretical exploration that we should bomb Iran. Well, if ultimately you're telling me these things, not because you care about fundamental philosophy of geopolitics, but because just because you're being paid by Israel to say these things, or you feel so attached emotionally to your ethnicity that you're going to defend them no matter what they do. I would like to see a label on your channel that says, look, this is Israeli propaganda. I'm paid. I'm not even thinking for myself. I'm just spouting whatever is told I have to spout. Now, that would be honest, see? But that is proper labeling of channels of communication. Now, I am for the exact same thing in the domain of love. Proper labeling of channels of communication. You are not young and beautiful. You are wearing plastics on your face to make it look like you're young and beautiful. That's two very different things. You are wearing this plastic on your face, not even to charm men, but to escalate the social ladder and to give yourself a theoretical value that you have lost because our culture has encouraged you to let your eggs dry without even a shot at reproduction before you're 35, without even an attempt. So yes, it is deception. And all of the beauty industry and whatever, it's all deception. I am for the rejection of it all. I am against colored hair, against all this crap. And to me, there is nothing more beautiful than a high school sweetheart, brown hair, no makeup, but just pure beauty and pure love and her natural self. Yes, that is the most beautiful thing. No inflated boobs. No inflated ass, no nothing. We have to get back to this.